I'm just putting myself first. Is that narcissistic? Am I being selfish or setting a boundary? If any of this sounds familiar, if you've asked yourself any of these questions before, take a deep breath. You're probably not a narcissist, but the fact that you're even wondering is worth unpacking, because somewhere between healthy self-love and full-blown narcissistic personality disorder, things can get murky. So today we're going to clear it up. We're going to dig into the difference between being self-focused, of course, a good thing, being selfish, sometimes good, sometimes not, and having narcissistic traits or full-blown narcissistic personality disorder, which would not be great. Then you'll learn my 5 action steps for building healthy self-love without going overboard. So, as always, stay tuned. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a practicing psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven with over 35 years of experience helping people just like you. Join me as I teach you actionable tips and strategies to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships. So let's get to it. Welcome back to the podcast. Here I am, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And this idea came from someone named Casey on YouTube. So I want to give a shout out to Casey. Thank you for those of you who subscribe to the channel and who like the videos. And especially if you comment, I do try to comment back. So you say hi to me over there and you'll see my fabulous Charlie's Angels hair today. Yes, that's right. I'm going for like a Jacqueline Smith thing. So if you don't know who that is, I don't want to talk to you. Look her up. I don't look like her. She's very beautiful, but I was going for the hair. Okay. I also want to say that I'm going to go through all this stuff today, but I have a great little free giveaway for you today, which is a quiz. Is it self-love or is it narcissism? I have a little quiz. If I go through everything today and I'm telling you what's what and you still aren't 100% sure, take my quiz and that'll give you some answers. All right. So, let's start with what is narcissistic personality disorder or NPD. And I've done entire episodes on narcissism, and I'll link to those in the show notes and on my website below the video if you're watching on YouTube. But I'm going to give you a little bit right here, right now, right? So you don't always have to go back. But if this is a topic that interests you, I've done a lot on narcissism before, and you could even use that keyword on my website and you would do well. You'd find lots of different free resources. So first things first, narcissistic personality disorder is a clinical diagnosis. It's not a casual insult or a label to throw at your ex. It affects about 0.5 to 1% of the population, so really very little. And it's rooted in deep, long-standing emotional and psychological patterns. People who have NPD show a consistent pattern of grandiosity, a lack of empathy, and a need for admiration, which really significantly impacts their relationships and their quality of life. So it's a major thing to say to someone. Some of the signs and symptoms of narcissistic personality disorder are definitely a grandiose sense of self-importance, a preoccupation like with fantasies of just having, you know, unlimited power, success, brilliance, beauty, that kind of thing. Also believing they're special and should only associate with kind of high status people. There's a need for excessive admiration, definitely a sense of entitlement. With NPD, we see exploitive behavior in relationships. It can really be hard to be in a relationship with them. Again, that lack of empathy I mentioned. There's often an envy of others or belief that others envy them, which is very interesting. Often we see a lot of arrogance or kind of haughty attitudes or behaviors. And these aren't just occasional behaviors. They're chronic. They're pervasive and they cause real dysfunction. Okay. So, again, I go into deeper detail in other episodes, and I'm not going to spend my time here on that because we have other work to do, but that gives you the highlights. So, now there's a power of healthy selfishness. And it's certainly not what you think. And again, did an entire episode on healthy selfishness. There's a chapter in my Boundaries Made Easy book, which is sitting behind me if you're watching me on YouTube. There's not a chapter, sorry, but there's a whole section in my Boundaries Made Easier book Boundaries Made Easy book and the Boundaries Made Easier workbook. If you haven't gotten those, if you have any issue with boundaries, highly recommend. You could look up the reviews, gotten great reviews. Please leave a review, by the way, if you've read it and haven't done that yet on Amazon. And so I go into more there, but I'm going to give you some stuff here. So I just want to say, we got to get one thing straight. Selfishness definitely gets a bad rap. And if you were raised in a home, a culture, or a religion that preached self-sacrifice as a highest virtue, you probably got the message early. You know, good people put others first. And over time, that probably became something like only bad, selfish people care about their own needs. And if you see yourself, as most people do, as a kind, moral, generous person, then prioritizing yourself is going to feel wrong if it's grounded in those untrue assumptions. But here is the truth. So let's get to it already. You can't, what do we always say? You can't fill a glass from an empty pitcher, right? You can't pour from an empty cup. And constantly draining yourself isn't virtuous. It is unsustainable. Healthy selfishness isn't about ignoring other people's needs. It's about putting, your own oxygen mask on first, right? You know, everyone who's flown an airplane knows they tell you if the oxygen masks come down to put them on you first before your kid or your elderly mom, you should put it on yourself first because that's the only way you're going to be able to make sure the other people are safe, okay? So put on your own oxygen mask first. Because when you're grounded, when you're energized, when you're calm, you actually have more to give to others. And there's science to back this up. I did, again, that entire episode on this. I would love for you to go really deep there, but I'm going to give you a few things right now because I love you and you're here now. The research says that so healthy selfishness helps you and others. I just want to, first and foremost, there have been a lot of studies over the past couple decades that show that healthy selfishness is positively correlated with psychological well-being, including lower levels of depression, lower anxiety, higher levels of calm, more satisfaction, people report higher satisfaction with life on those scales. But even more surprising, people who score high on healthy selfishness are also more likely to exhibit something we call pro-social behaviors. Those are things like they donate, they volunteer, and they help others. How do you like that? I know it sounds counterintuitive, but it's not. So yes, the more you lovingly prioritize yourself, the more generous and kind you actually become. Think of how you are when you've gotten a good night's sleep. When you get a good night's sleep, don't you feel great in the morning? You're not snapping at your partner. You're not yelling at your kids. You've got lots of gas in the tank, so to speak, right? And you can really give to others in a different way. But you might have gone to bed earlier and felt guilty because, I should have stayed up and talked to my husband longer, or I should have stayed up and sent all those emails for the PTA, or I should have whatever, should have. But it's actually better to go to bed and be kind to the people around you. You'll also think better, by the way. You'll get those tasks done with more efficiency the next day than if you stayed up all night. You're going to be very inefficient when you're so tired and groggy. And you need good sleep to help you emotionally regulate. And I will tell you that most people would say, your kids, your family members, everybody, that they'd rather have a loving, kind you who maybe didn't finish all the dishes last night than a mean, grumpy you who with a clean kitchen. Okay. And I understand the dishes have to be done and all that, but I am saying you've got to think about this stuff. You have to think. So, and you do become more generous and kind when you are practicing healthy selfishness. Why? Because you're giving from a place of authenticity, not resentment and not burnout. Okay. Right. It's very obvious in a lot of ways, but yet we've been so acculturated, so brainwashed, frankly, into thinking thinking of yourself is only narcissistic, selfish, mean, cruel, all those things. I really need to flip the script for you. I really have to show you the other side to drive this home. And again, tons of research to back me up. And as always, I link to all the research You can go to the blog post for this episode. You can go to the show notes page on my website. You can go below the video on YouTube. I have it everywhere. So I'm not just saying stuff. I back it up with science. All right. And if you go to the older episodes, there's even more research. I just picked a few things for this, but I have even more in the other episodes. So on the flip side, we've got something I've mentioned before called pathological altruism. Okay. And you've probably heard me talk about it before. This is when you help others at your own expense, not out of love, but from fear, from guilt, for a need for approval, for people liking you. That's all fear-based stuff. So we're talking, right, obviously codependency territory here. And again, research shows that this kind of overgiving is linked to vulnerable narcissism, which is a type of narcissism marked by insecurity and people-pleasing. And it's linked to less authentic connections, to not really being connected to other people. So do you see the problem here? That pathological altruism that, you know, always giving, 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 isn't linked to good things, isn't linked to your well-being or having great relationships or even good mental health. So healthy selfishness is linked to all the good things. It is, and what is healthy selfishness? It is respecting your time, your energy, your emotional bandwidth. It is setting boundaries and saying no without spiraling into guilt. I see you. It is making decisions based on what's right for you, not what'll make others like you. It is investing in your growth, joy, and rest. It is honoring your needs the way you do for others. I know, I see you. I see you doing for others and not for yourself. Back in 1939, there was a German social psychologist, a very famous Erich Fromm, who wrote an essay called Selfishness and Self-Love. Again, I'll link to all this. And I talk about it in past episodes, where he argued that our culture teaches people to feel guilty for prioritizing themselves. And he described healthy self-love as the passionate affirmation and respect for one's own happiness, growth, and freedom. I mean, that's some good stuff right there. Abraham Maslow, you know, the hierarchy of needs guy, right? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Abraham Maslow had built on Fromm's work, and he emphasized the difference between healthy and unhealthy selfishness also, and argued that pursuing joy and personal growth isn't just good for us. It actually benefits the people around us. So loving yourself isn't selfish. It's essential. It's essential. So let's talk about some healthy selfishness or narcissism. You know, if you're not sure where you land, again, you can download the quiz. It's free to download the quiz. But I'll give you a little, some other stuff right now to think about. It's a little self-check to help you reflect, hopefully without judgment. We're not here to judge ourselves or other people. We are here to uncover our blind spots, to be open to change, to want to grow. And all of us, you know, have had to deal with maybe being too self-absorbed at times. I have. Come on. Let's all get real here. So nobody, you know, the people who've never had any self-absorption at all, who have only ever given up, that's its own sickness. I have to tell you, that's just as sick as having been self-absorbed, I say with love. But it is. So don't get it in your head that one is really good and one is really bad. They're both ends of that spectrum. Any extreme is unhealthy. If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. So if you're wondering if something, yes, is it healthy selfishness or is it a narcissistic trait, right? So let's say you say no to protect your time and energy. That's healthy. You say no because other people's needs feel like a burden. Everybody's a burden. I don't want to do it. That's probably getting into narcissistic traits at least. Okay. You feel proud of something you accomplished and you share it. That is so good. That is so healthy. Self-love. That's good stuff. You dominate conversations to get constant praise. See the difference? Yeah, you can tell. That's on the unhealthy side. You want to look good and feel confident. I want to look good and feel confident. Like that's something that I put energy into. And if you're seeing me today on YouTube, you're seeing my fabulous earrings. Sorry if you're missing them in the other world. I'm also in very bad lighting because my light just broke literally the second before I was starting today. So don't come for me for the bad lighting. I look like I'm in a cave or I don't even know what. Anyway, so you want to look good and feel confident. That would be very healthy. But you seek perfection and belittle others to feel superior. Unhealthy, right? Now we're getting into narcissistic kind of traits. You want alone time to recharge and recharge, right? And you set boundaries for that. That's really healthy. You withdraw emotionally to punish somebody who's pissed you off. That's probably on the narcissistic side. You're somebody who considers how your actions impact others, right? You consider it. That's healthy. You believe your needs matter more than anyone else's. That now we're again on the narcissistic side. You ask for support when you need it. Healthy. You demand attention and feel offended when others have needs. God forbid. Unhealthy. You get upset when someone crosses a boundary, but you talk it through. You're allowed to be upset in a healthy side, right? This is healthy. You're supposed to get upset. That's life. But you talk it through. You're open. You want to connect. But on the other hand, if you explode or shut down when someone doesn't meet your expectations, again, we're getting into narcissistic territory. Being aware of your flaws and working on them, healthy. Blaming others and never taking accountability, unhealthy. You care about doing good things, but don't need credit for it. Although it's okay to have credit sometimes, you just don't need it. Is healthy versus, you only help others if there's something in it for you. On the healthy side, you would admit when you're wrong and apologize. On a more narcissistic side, you would always deny any wrongdoing. You turn the blame around all the time. Okay. So that I'm trying to give you like both sides of the spectrum for things. So let's talk about when to be concerned. When should you be concerned? Because everybody has moments of ego. Everybody has moments of insecurity, of frustration. But if these patterns are showing up frequently, and if people in your life are giving you feedback that something feels off, it's time to pay attention. Now, let me say this. Keep this in mind. When you start setting boundaries with people, they will likely call you selfish and narcissistic. Okay. It doesn't mean you are, because they don't like your boundaries. Of course they don't. They liked it the other way when they got everything they wanted. But I say, if anyone is calling you this, even if you think if you can tell, it's like, oh my God, I said no, and now suddenly I'm a selfish, like, come on. You still want to check yourself. You still want to make sure you're coming from a healthy place. So I would still say to ask yourself these questions here's why, really. Because I will talk to a client. They will draw a boundary. Someone gets mad at them in their life and calls them selfish or a narcissist or something like that. And they know intellectually that it's not true. They'll be like, no, I know. It's just because I said no and they got upset, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, okay. But then they still feel guilty. But, they start to backtrack. So I have them go through what I'm going to give you to remind them that they are not selfish narcissists. Okay. Because you've got to remember that you're not. Otherwise, you get caught up in moments of weakness, so to speak. You'll think, oh, maybe I was too much. Maybe it was bad. Maybe I am mean and selfish, right? So you want to ask yourself, first and foremost, can I empathize with others even when I don't agree? Okay. Can I empathize with others even when I don't agree? A red flag would be that you feel irritated, dismissive, or bored when people share their feelings. Okay, that's a red flag for that. An example would be maybe a friend opens up about being anxious and you roll your eyes or, you know, tell them to just get over it. So do you see the difference there? Number two would be, do I take responsibility for my mistakes? Okay, a red flag there, you know, you might be selfish or narcissistic if you deflect, if you blame others, or you never apologize sincerely. So, you know, an example might be that you hurt someone and you say, well, I wouldn't have done that if you hadn't pushed me, or something like that. Okay. Third thing to ask yourself is, are my relationships mutual and balanced? A red flag here would be you expect loyalty, emotional labor, you expect support, but you rarely give the same in return. Okay. Because you think you deserve it or you're owed it. So an example could be that you, expect your partner to drop everything for you, but get annoyed when they ask for something, when they ask you to drop things for them. You're suddenly too busy. A fourth thing to ask yourself would be, am I open to growth and feedback? Now, a red flag would be that you see feedback always as an attack and you lash out, or you silently, you know, you give people the cold shoulder, or you get silent, or you withdraw. Let's say a colleague at work gives you some kind of note on your behavior and you spend the next week avoiding them, or you gossip and talk crap about them, something like that. The fifth thing I would ask yourself is, how do people feel after spending time with me? A red flag is that you regularly hear that people feel drained, unimportant, or anxious around you. And if you get that feedback a lot from your partner or someone else, you really have to take a look. Okay. So if this section is hitting home, by the way, don't panic. If you're like, oh my God, I'm all the red flags, or I'm a few of the red flags, don't panic. Awareness is the first step towards any change. And I need to tell you, in my 40 years of doing this, real narcissists aren't usually asking themselves these kinds of questions. Real narcissists are not listening right now. I would bet that of the 100,000 people that might be listening right now, you know, it's possible one or two are actually narcissists. And congratulations to you for wanting to change. But it's not, I know we throw on the word so much, so you don't realize it, but it's not as common as you think. So let's talk about action steps, right? You know me, I'm always into the action. So how do you build healthy self-love without going overboard, right? So how do you get that sweet spot between being not being self-absorbed, but being healthfully selfish? Healthfully selfish, you know, showing some self-love. How do you do that? And as always, as always now, since January, because I have my One Love Collective, my online Patreon community, if I hope you want to join us there, it's pretty amazing. But if you're not into committing to being in the community, the One Love Collective gets lots of extras. They get live Q&As with me twice a month. It's going to be more eventually, but twice a month right now. They get early drops of the podcast. They get the podcast without ads. They get all kinds of stuff, but they also get worksheets. There's a guided visualization that goes along with this week. There's journaling prompts. There's all kinds of things to help you build in this area and really distinguish, you know, where you are in this area. So if this is something if you're listening today going like, wow, this all applies to me, you might want to download the bundle. The bundle's $8. I will list it at the end, and wherever you're listening to this, you know, you'll be able to go. That's not true. Not wherever you're listening to this, but you'll be able to go to the website or over there on YouTube. You'll be able to find a place to download. You have to join my Patreon community, but you don't have to pay any money, and you would just buy the bundle. And I see that a lot of people are joining just because they like to buy the bundle sometimes. And that's fine. You might not want to be part of a community, but you want to go deep. I think of it as like a little masterclass in it. So I'll list all those at the end so you can decide if that's something that sounds good to you. All right. So let's talk about those action steps. So this is where the healing begins, right? And so this is how to practice healthy selfishness that actually strengthens your relationships, okay? Strengthens your relationships. And I'm going to give you some quick, great things to do. You know me, I'm always about what can you do. So number one, I would say, is create a yes to me list, okay? Yes, yes to me. I'm creating a yes to me list. Write down 10 things you're allowed to do without guilt and read that every day for 1 week or for 1 month. Try it for 1 week first, but I would love for you to read it every day. So examples would be, I'm allowed to rest even if others are still working. That's really for me. I know. I'm not good at that. I'm allowed to say no, even if it disappoints someone. I'm allowed to make decisions that others don't understand, and I don't need to explain myself. I'm allowed to never explain myself. I'm allowed to say, because I said so. Do you see where I'm going here? This helps rewire your inner voice from guilt to groundedness. So make that list, reread it as often as possible. I have one client right now who's, she loves this list. She's writing three things every day in her journal. She journals every day. She writes three new, sometimes they're the same, but sometimes they're new. Yes to me. So the three things I'm allowed to remind herself. And so she reads it and she goes over it every single day. It's really, I'm telling you, it really helps rewire. Number two would be to use a selfish practice journal. So each night you would reflect on, what did I do today that honored my needs? I would have you answer that. How did that positively impact me or someone else? I would have you do those two things. So an example could be, you know, I have to think of an example. I skipped a last minute request to help with a PTA event and took a walk instead, you know, and that was good because I felt calmer and I was more patient with my kids at dinner. How's that? There's one. Okay. This, what you're doing with this one is you're building the muscle of prioritizing yourself without shame. Crazy concept, I know. Number three would be to practice empathic boundaries. So I'm giving you a little three-part script for this. One would be to acknowledge their need, then state your boundary, and then offer connection if you can. So an example would be, I know you're feeling overwhelmed, right? Number one, and I want to support you. Now the boundary. I can't talk right now because I'm emotionally tapped out, but let's check in tomorrow when I'm more grounded. You gave them an alternative. See how that is? That's actually a really good one. I don't know if I could repeat that. So please, I hope you're listening. That's how you protect your energy in relationships, right? Use that little script all the way down. Number four is interrupt the validation vortex. So when, I just liked how validation vortex sounded. I know. When you catch yourself craving external praise, I want you to pause and ask, what do I want them to validate? How can I offer that to myself right now? And anytime you're looking, and a lot of times I have clients who are single who are going on dating apps because they're looking for that external validation. They're going on social media. That could be single or married or partnered or whatever, but they're going on social media looking for comments or likes. They're looking for outside validation. They're looking for someone else to tell them that they're okay in some way. Or you're just looking to, I want to call my friend and talk about this big problem I had at work again, you know. Think about it. What do I want them to validate? What am I looking for? And how can I offer that to myself right now? I would do that first. Okay. Maybe you're even about to post. Let's say you're going to post an accomplishment online. I don't mind that. I think it's great. I post accomplishments all the time because I'm excited about it. But I don't want you to do it for approval. So if it was only for approval, if that's the only place the reason you're saying it, I would write about it in your journal instead, you know, or say I'm proud of myself out loud, or call a friend who celebrates you for you already, who, you know, you're not looking for them to think more of you. You just want to share that with them. I definitely have stuff like this. I get really excited. You know, I was recently, one of my quotes was published in the Wall Street Journal not that long ago. And I was really excited. You know, I got the thing from the reporter, the person who created the thing that was posted, the interview, and the article. Sorry. Wow. Getting old. Abby's getting old. She can't remember words. That's right. It's all falling apart. Anyway. And I was all excited. I forwarded it to Gary and I was like, oh my God. And he's like, I'm so proud of you. I was like, oh, thank you. It's so exciting. Like I haven't been in the Wall Street Journal before. I've been in the New York Times and some other things. Oh, look at me name dropping. Let's name drop, Abby. Let's name drop some places you've been. I do have all that on my website because you need social proof a lot of times. You just do. That's why most people have things like that on their website, because when people see it, they're like, oh, other people are, you know, she was in Women's Health or quoted in Success Magazine or Fast Company or wherever else I've been. So people get like, oh, she's, you know, there's social proof that she's not a crazy person. We have them fooled, don't we? Okay. But you get where I'm going here. But it feels good. I don't think it got published on social media. I'm trying to remember. See, this is the kind of stuff that my social media person might then go take and publish for social proof on social media. But I will say that I don't go look on social media to see if, oh, did people like that? Were they proud of me? And I'm not saying I wouldn't have, my younger self wouldn't have, but my older self doesn't, which if there's anything good about aging, maybe it's that. I don't even know. I don't know. I'd rather have my young boobs and still look for validation. But anyway, I digress. Now people are thinking of my boobs. Why did I say that? Okay. Number five. See, you should always listen all the way through. You never know what I'm going to say. Number five is to ask for feedback with intention. And this is something I do pretty often. And I think it's a really good one. And I know it can feel intimidating to people. It still, believe it or not, feels a little intimidating to me, but I do it. I push through and do it. What you do is you choose someone you trust. Don't ask your crazy aunt Felicia, who you don't even like. Okay. You don't do it with her. Do it with someone you like and trust and ask them, how do I show up when I'm stressed? Do I make space for your needs in our relationship? What's something I do that feels self-focused or hard to be around? You can ask that. I asked my kids that not that long ago. I asked each of them separately. I said, tell me about a blind spot I might have. You know, like, I want to hear it. And both of them were like, oh, mom, you're great. And I was like, I know I'm great, but tell me, like, in our relationship, what is something that you wish I would get a little better at? And, you know, Max was great. He said, I see you catching yourself, but you still sometimes give me advice when I haven't asked. And I was like, oh, you're right. Okay. And I didn't say, give me an example of that. I don't remember doing that. I don't remember doing it last, but I believe him because I'm so friggin' bossy. I catch myself so much not giving advice. You know, because I'm about to and I stop myself, you know, don't sack your relationships. I try to follow that. Don't offer suggestions, give advice or criticize. And so I think of that all the time. But of course, I'm human. I'm a Jewish mother. Of course, I miss it. So it was really good feedback. And I actually can't remember now what McCartney said. Oops. I'm sure I'll remember the second I stop this broadcast. Anyway, but that was really good. It's good to ask. It's good to know how people are perceiving you, if they need anything else in the relationship. If there's something you could do better and work on, I've asked it that way too. I do this a lot when I finish a consulting job or even during it sometimes. I'll just say, if there's something I could do way, if I was to take this job again and I could do it way better, what would I be doing better? What would I do? What would I ask? What would I have done first? What part of my process would be different? Like, I'll ask those kind of questions. Now, you have to remember, the feedback you get isn't always, sometimes I'll ask somebody that, let's say at a job that I've done, and they'll give me feedback that I don't, you know, I'm like, okay, like I try to listen and be open. But when I think about it later, I realize that it wouldn't have matched the job well. I don't think that was something for that job. But I do try to think about it. I don't just go, nope, they're wrong, I'm right. You know, I want to say, it's not like any feedback you get every single time, 100% of the time, you're supposed to go, okay, because people can give feedback. I give feedback all the time for the podcast that, you know, again, make it shorter, make it longer, make it this, make it that. I'm not going to please everybody. So for me, I try to please myself. You know, I just try to do what I think is the best I can do and what makes me happy to do. It wouldn't make me happy to try to make this into a 5-minute broadcast. It just wouldn't. So I don't. But if it makes me happy later to make it shorter, I guess I will. And there'll be some people happy with that and some people not. So, you know, but ask. It's great to ask. It's great to get. And again, just listen. No defending. This is about growth, not perfection, right? So let me wrap this up. So self-love isn't narcissism, right? If you're asking yourself, again, if am I a narcissist? You're probably not. again, true narcissists rarely question themselves, but even if you're not one, you might still be struggling with unhealthy people pleasing, burned out boundaries, old beliefs that say caring for yourself is wrong. Okay, it's not. Again, healthy selfishness is how you show up for yourself and others. It's not narcissism. It is self-respect. And I can't say that enough. So yeah, I think I can stop talking. So that is it for today. I think I covered everything I want to cover. I want to remind you, you can download the self-love. Is it self-love or is it narcissism? The little quiz I created. I took some time with that. I think it came out pretty good. You can download that, and always to be transparent, you will be put on my weekly, on my email list. Sorry, it's not weekly anymore. Where I send out a love letter. I call it Love Bites. You'll be on the free list, which is twice a month. You'll get it the second and fourth Wednesday of the month. You'll get my little Love Bites. It's a love letter. I do not sell anything. I do not bombard you with emails. I do nothing except try to inspire you that week. If you love that, if you're like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever, you can pay to get it weekly. But otherwise, you'll just get on the free list, and you can always unsubscribe. I promise. I don't notice. It's okay. You can download things every other day and unsubscribe when you don't like, if you don't like the love letter. So let's get into now what the online Patreon community gets in case you want to get the bundle that I talked about that with all these things together. And you would get that quiz, by the way, as part of the bundle. You wouldn't have to do that separately. So if you're not here for that and you want to end, I will see you next week and know that I love you and I'm glad you're here. And if you are staying to hear, here we go. So tier one, which is my inner circle, is getting a healthy selfishness daily checklist to really get into that healthy stuff, you know, really get into the healthy selfishness. You're also getting journaling prompts around healthy self-love. Tier two, the love accelerator, of course, gets everything in tier one. Plus, I have boundary scripts. I have 20 of them, I think I did, of empathic boundary scripts, things you can say that are full of empathy to keep your boundaries and keep the love, okay? I'm really excited. I did a guided visualization about embodying healthy self-love, which is, I think, pretty awesome. Tier three gets everything tier one and tier two gets. Plus, that's my VIP love lab. Plus, you guys are getting a worksheet that I called Rewriting the Rules of Selfishness, where you can kind of get deeper on why this is the way it is and do a little worksheet on that. And then I have a reflection exercise. I'm calling What Kind of a Giver Are You? And it's just a little reflection exercise. Again, a little writing, a little reflection to help you. I always want to cement and integrate all of these concepts and get underneath so you'd stop feeling guilty, stop feeling like there's something wrong with you. Stop listening to people you shouldn't be listening to who are telling you that you're selfish or narcissistic or whatever when that's not what's happening. And that's it. So that is it for today. Thank you for being here with me. If you've listened to the end, oh my gosh, how sweet. Oh, I love you so much. It's so great. I so appreciate you being here and spending time with me and letting me do this thing that I just adore and love doing so much. I there might come a day when I stop loving it and I'll stop doing it then. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep doing it. So I'm going to see you next week. Have an amazing week. Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got two quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful confidence. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything, you can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymetcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.